the blessing of a church family than have a baby. It is such a blessing to be a part of this congregation. And on behalf of Anna and I, we just want to thank each and every one of you for the calls and texts and ways that you have reached out to us and the birth of our little boy, Titus. Everybody's healthy and good, and we just wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you. Several years ago, my dad, when he was in high school, he played football with one of his buddies, and he unfortunately was in a tragic car accident that left him paralyzed from the neck down. From that day on, he lived about 25 years or so, but from that day on, he had no mobility at all. He could only move parts of his neck, and his father took care of him from that moment until the day he passed away a few years ago. His dad was at his bedside at every waking moment that he needed him. Everything that that the man needed, when he needed food, when he needed to be clothed, when he needed to be bathed, his dad was right there. His dad was committed to him. His dad was generous to every need that he could ever have. And his dad still embraced a kind of fatherly affection for this man, even in the midst of trials and his hardship. This is true love. This is true lasting, loyal love that one can display to another. And this is the kind of love that God has for his people. This evening, we're continuing a series that we started last week called The Heart of God from Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And if you want to go ahead and take out your Bibles with me, we're going to be turning to several passages, and I hope you take out your Bibles with me and turn there. So go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. So last week we talked about how our task as God's new creation, God has created a new creation, a new kind of human being through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And every single one of us who are a Christian, who have submitted to him in baptism and who embrace faith in Jesus, is a part of that new humanity in which Jesus Christ established. And our task as the new creation, as a new kind of humanity, is to reflect the heart, the very heart of God into this world, into the world around us. And to adequately do this, to adequately reflect the heart of God and be all who he wants me to be, we must understand his heart. We must understand what makes him tick, his motivations, his intentions, because we cannot adequately reflect the heart of God, which is our purpose in this world, if we do not understand our God. So that's what this series is dedicated to. We looked at Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 last time, and as I said, we're going to be breaking down each of these attributes that God reveals about himself within this verse. We talked about compassion last week, but it says in Exodus 34, 6, it says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful or compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Now, like we talked about last week, this is the most quoted verse in the Old Testament and in parts of the New to describe the character of God, to describe the heart of God, what he is like. And if we want to understand more of who God is, more of the God that we worship and that we serve, this verse is a very good place to begin. It's a very good place to dissect and unfold. So tonight, we are going to be looking at the fourth attribute within Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, which is steadfast love or loyal love. The ESV renders it steadfast love. We're going to be talking about this attribute of God tonight. Now, this word, it comes from the Hebrew word behind this word, either steadfast love or loyal love, is chesed. And It's very difficult. It's a difficult word to translate because it carries so many different ideas. It carries so many different meanings in English that cannot be conveyed adequately in English. That's why you look at many different translations. You look at the ESV, you look at the New King James, you look at a plethora of different translations, and they all say different things. They're not all wrong. They're all right. But it's because this word is so complex that it carries a variety of different meanings in which we don't have an English word that can adequately communicate what the word in Hebrew means. So if we want to understand the heart of God and what God is saying about Himself, it's a very worthwhile endeavor to plunge into the original language and to unfold, to dissect what this word, chesed, loyal love, steadfast love, really means in the original language as we unfold, as we uncover who God is, the heart of our God. Now, this word chesed, it communicates three different ideas. And this is the direction that we're going to be going tonight. It communicates three different ideas in English, and those being commitment, generosity, and affection. And the words there, that's not Martian, that's Hebrew, and that's the word chesed. So that it communicates these three different ideas all combined into one word: commitment, generosity, and affection. So we're going to be talking about the first one, commitment, the first nuance of this word. Now turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 36. Psalm chapter 36, starting in verse 5. Psalm 36, starting in verse 5. Now, first of all, God's chesed involves a deep, lasting commitment to His covenant people. God sticks with His commitments. God sticks with His people through the thick and the thin. Now, in Psalm chapter 36, verses 5 through 6, it says this: "Your steadfast love," and that's the same Hebrew word in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. "Your chesed, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord." So what this verse is telling us is from the highest point in creation to the very lowest point, God's loyal love, God's chesed upholds every tier of the cosmos, the sky, the land, the sea, and God's loyal love perseveres creation's ability to sustain life. The Bible teaches that God is the sustainer of life. God makes this world go around. God sustains life. He preserves it. When we ponder creation and the majesty that God has displayed before us, this psalm is telling us that we can be reminded of God's loyal love, of His commitment to this creation, to preserve and to sustain life. That's one meaning of this word, commit, God's commitment toward creation and serving the needs of humanity. Turn with me in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. This is a very familiar passage, which I'm sure we've read multiple times. But it says this: "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness," or chesed in the Hebrew, "and to walk humbly with your God." Now notice what Micah is doing here. Micah contrasts the character of Israel's leaders to that character of God. Israel's leaders in this time in history, they fail to stay loyal to God's commands. They failed in their task to defend the weak, to defend the poor of their society, and uphold the Torah, uphold God's laws, and do things His way. They didn't do that. They possessed the opposite of God's attributes. God is saying here that He's not a God that acts like they do. He is a God, rather in contrast to the Israel's leaders, he is a God who does do justice, who loves chesed, who loves kindness, who loves loyalty, loyal love, and walks in humility with his people. God is the opposite of Israel's leaders, this text is telling us. He follows through with his commitments. If God has made a commitment to his people, he will follow through with it. It will not be forsaken. You can trust him with your life. God possesses loyal love for his people. One of the best illustrations possibly of God's chesed, of God's loyal love, is the story of Ruth. Turn with me in Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. This is, like I said, this is one of the best, I think, examples of what this word means of the character of God here. And of course, we know from the story of Ruth, Ruth is a Moabite that goes back to Israel with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law doesn't want her to because she knows that Ruth can marry, Ruth can start her life afresh after her husband dies, and she can start life over. But instead, she says, "Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay." Now, this is an example of chesed. This is an example of loyalty, of loyal commitment. Ruth is committed to this relationship to her mother-in-law. She wants to see her well-being. And it doesn't matter if she has to give up her life. It doesn't matter if she has to give up what is most precious to her. She will stay true to her commitment. That is chesed. Ruth was known as a woman of chesed. Like it says in Ruth chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And he said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness,'" or the Hebrew word is chesed, "greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." Ruth didn't bail out on her commitments very easily. Ruth was in it for the long haul. Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law through the thick and thin, and that's how God is. That's exactly how God is. God is committed to the cause of his people. God is committed to the promises that he makes to his people. And it doesn't matter what trials, what tribulations may come. It doesn't matter what may happen. It doesn't matter even the weaknesses his people displays. God is committed to his people. That is loyalty. That is God's loyal love. Now, the second meaning of this word, chesed, is another nuance that it carries, is the idea of generosity. God's chesed involves an enduring, generous spirit towards his covenant people. God continually gives good things, gives good gifts to his people who are often undeserving of it and reckless. Just read in the first five books of the Bible about the story of the children of Israel after they come out of Egypt, and it just seems right from the get-go they start make a world of trouble. They reject God. They rebel against God. They don't deserve God's love. They don't deserve his grace. But he stays true to what he has committed to them, and he's generous in that commitment. He continually gives good things to those who don't deserve it. He binds up their wounds, and he tends to their needs when they call upon him. An example of this is in Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10, with Jacob. Now it says, Jacob says, "I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love, of chesed, and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become too camps. Jacob, like Abraham and Isaac before him, was God's elect, was God's chosen. He was chosen to carry God's blessing to the entire world. But of course, as we read over the story of Jacob's life, many times he refused to stay true to his commitments. He was known as a deceiver. He didn't follow through with his commitments and didn't obey God's commands at times. He did not deserve God's loyal love, God's chesed. But God doesn't leave Jacob alone. God doesn't say, I'm done with you. I'm going to leave you and go start another tribe and do it another way. God stays true to the commitment that he made to Jacob. He's loyal. He fulfills his promise to his family. God is generous to his people. Generous, so very generous when they respond to him in repentance. And this idea is exclaimed even further in Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12. F.H. read parts of this psalm this morning. I love this verse. I love this passage. It says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love, his chesed, toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." God's chesed is demonstrated in his willingness to forgive the sins of his people. It's higher than we can even fathom. God, to those who repent and submit to God's commands, God separates their sins as far as the east is from the west. If you had an arrow that never ended, that pointed in toward the east, and an arrow that never ended that pointed toward the west, that's an unfathomable amount of space. And that's the distance that God separates sin from the one that repents and calls upon his name. That's what he's saying. It's higher than we can fathom. And that it's a display of his mighty generosity toward his covenant people. I did prison ministry at Fried Hardeman several years ago, and I have so many stories from that. But I remember one man who I talked to and I helped. I helped and I counseled, and he said, "Keith, if you only knew what I have done, you would know that God would never forgive me. You would know that God would absolutely never consider forgiving somebody like me. But the heart of God, as we read in the scriptures, the character of God that we see in the Bible tells us that God takes the worst of offenses, the worst thing that anybody could possibly do, and separates them from them farther from the sinner that they could even comprehend if they repent. That's God's loyal, generous love toward his people. That's God. That's the God that we worship and that we serve. That's chesed. Lastly, tonight, the last word that carries this idea of what this word means. God's chesed involves gentle affection for his covenant people. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 19. This is a little bit longer passage, but it's very necessary as we talk about this idea. Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 19. God's chesed involves gentle affection. His love for his people is tender, but of course he's tough when he needs to be. And this passage is an indication of that. Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 19. It says, and this is after the children of Israel rebel. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, For you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land that they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, well, it is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please, let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, and here's Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, your chesed, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Now, of course, we can read in this passage and we can see that God is angry with his people, and rightly so. After God has displayed loyalty time and time again to this people, they reject him. They refuse him, even though he has stayed loyal to his commitment, and he's angry. He's hurt. Now, God being hurt by his people's unfaithfulness reveals, and think about it like this. God being hurt and angry over his people's offenses, that reveals his tender affection for them. God's tender affection, his love for his people is revealed even in his anger. Because think about it like this. Say you're married to somebody and they cheat on you with somebody else. What is your immediate response going to be? Anger, of course. Anger, hurt, sadness. Now, it's because the reason why you have those feelings of anger, of hurt, of heartache, and sadness after somebody cheats on you, after somebody commits infidelity with you, it's because that you had a deep bond with that person. It's because you possessed an affection for that person more so than others. That's why feelings of hurt and heartache and sadness come when betrayal happens. It's because I was so attached to this person. I possessed affection for this person and they hurt me. They betrayed me. So God being hurt and being angry over the sins of his people, it's a sign of how much he really loves his people, of how much affection he possesses for his covenant people. And in this passage, Moses reminds God of his own attributes. He quotes Exodus 34, 6 again, and he says, God, you're a God of compassion, of grace, of patience, of loyalty, of faithfulness. Don't do this. Of course, God is a but God doesn't acquit the guilty, he says, but he also doesn't forsake his promises. His affection remains even when his people display weaknesses. That's amazing. I think that's absolutely amazing. God's affection, God's loyal love remains even when his people's affection for him does not. It does not run out. God is loyal to his covenant people. God is with his people through the thick and thin. God's chesed, his commitment, his generosity, and his affection, these three ideas that make up this beautiful word that describes the character of God, is his action while fulfilling his promise. And this is the promise that he makes to his covenant people. This is the promise that he makes. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And all the while, all through the relationship, God displays commitment and generosity and affection toward those who are his and who respond to him in repentance. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4 says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love, your chesed, is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Man's chesed is like the morning mist. It's here one moment, and then it's gone the next. But God's loyal love, God's steadfast love is everlasting. It's forever. We read a moment ago, the scripture reading was from Psalm chapter 136. You remember how many times we heard about his steadfast love? Your steadfast love endures forever. That's the word chesed too. His steadfast love endures forever. God repeats in that passage this Hebrew word 26 times to proclaim that his loyal love lasts forever, lasts to eternity. And notice in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, that God doesn't just possess loyal love. God doesn't just have loyal love. God is abounding in it. God is overflowing with this chesed, with this loyal love. His commitment, his generosity, and his affection toward his people is magnified to a degree in which no human being has ever displayed before in this world, except of that of Jesus Christ. And we know from the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, is the full realization of God's loyal love to humanity. God made a promise to humanity in the beginning. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 12, and it's repeated in multiple places in the Old Testament. He says that, "I, through you, Abraham, I will make a nation. I will make a great nation through you." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus Christ is the full realization of God's chesed, of God's loyal love to his covenant people. I can just imagine Jesus hanging on the cross after bearing all of the physical suffering, but even more so the spiritual suffering, him bearing the wrath of God on his shoulders, being beaten and abused and bearing the wrath of God. He endured all of that. He endured everything on the cross that he endured because his chesed was overflowing from his heart. He was loyal to the cause of saving humanity. And we can learn through the heart of Jesus Christ that God is loyal to his covenant people. If you're in him tonight, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that commitment is made to you. That commitment is made to you. He will never leave you if you are in him. And he will never forsake you if you are in him. He is loyal to you in everything that he does. God is loyal even when his people are not. God sticks with his people even though they are weak. In my life, I display weaknesses. I'm not perfect. I still struggle with things. I still struggle with sin. But the Bible tells me that when I respond to him in repentance, he casts my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. Even in my weaknesses and in my failings, God remains loyal to me. God stays with me even when times get hard. And we know through God's loyal love that God is loyal to the cause of reaching the lost of this world. He sees the condition of this world and is loyal to the cause of saving humanity. So as we go about pondering the heart of God, understanding who he is, and growing in our relationship with him, we must realize, we must know that our task is that we are to reflect the very heart of God to a world that is lost and dying. To do this tonight, and this is my message to you, to do this, to reflect the heart of God to the world, we must embrace the same kind of chesed, the same kind of loyal love that Jesus Christ displayed to all of those, all of humanity, on the cross. That is our task as Christians, to display loyal love to our friends, our family, even our enemies, to the lost of this world as we reflect the heart of God together. Tonight, if you have any need, if you need prayers from the church, we want to pray for you. We want to know if you're struggling with something so we can be there with you. Or if you need to become a Christian tonight, if you wish to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, we urge you, please come forward tonight as we stand and as we sing.